welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this, partly sunny, partly rainy, partly who knows what, Monday. But it's great to be inside, even under circumstances. Here on the Arts Magazine Show, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. And we are here. It was a great weekend. Lots went on. My first full weekend back from my journeys. And a good time was had by all, let me tell you. We're going to journey out first. Lots of interesting and good shows going on in the city. We're going to talk about some things that are going on in the course of the show today. But first, we're going to journey on over to Quality Hill Playhouse, not too far from here, downtown Kansas City, in that hot new musical arts district in the future, perhaps to be populated by a lot of students from UMKC playing their music. Who knows? That news breaking this morning. But over at Quality Hill Playhouse, where they are presenting 5 mini musicals in one, yes, the musical of musicals, or as I said earlier, the musical of all musicals. Maybe they'll do all musicals in one. Julie thinks I'm crazy.
No, I know you are. That's okay.
Welcome to the show. Julie Shaw is one of our guests. She has appeared previously at Quality Hill Playhouse, but lots of other places as well. The Barn Players, Spinning Tree Theater, and places she doesn't want me to mention.
No.
That as well.
Very untrue. He lies. General audience, he lies.
Yes, but lots of theaters around town.
Yes.
And went to school, I believe, in Texas.
That's correct. Good memory.
Yes, I do have a good memory. Well, welcome to the show again.
Thank you.
She played the drowsy chaperone a few years ago, and I believe you had a drink in your hand for every scene.
I did. I also have drinks in my hand in this particular show as well. A couple different drinks.
Oh, good. We'll see what happens there. Ashley Panko is with us. Panko,
yes.
I did it right. Yeah, she is with us as well. She is one of the other singers in the show. She is a singer, of course. She plays 8 instruments.
Yes, but not in the show. But yes,
not in the
I
show.
Do.
She plays 8 instruments, specializes in the piano, I guess, for 23 years, is also a vocal coach, an accompanist, and a performer. She has done national tours. She has done New York theater. She has appeared at Musical Theater Heritage, Quality Hill Playhouse, the New Theater Restaurant, Starlight Theater, and the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I don't think we've ever had you on before. How is this possible?
Well, I just moved here a year ago, so
okay.
That's
you've
very
done
possible.
All this in one year.
Hey, well.
Musical of musicals going on at Quality Hill Playhouse. Is this different from the usual shows that Kent puts on?
It is different. You know, we performed it 6 years ago, and so they've brought it back. It was one of their most popular shows at Quality Hill Playhouse. It is a book musical. It was performed off-Broadway, and it is the story of the old tale of the damsel in distress who can't pay her rent and the villain who says you must pay the rent and the hero that comes in and says he'll save the day. So it's that storyline told in 5 different musicals with 5 different composers. Rodgers and Hammerstein, Stephen Sondheim, Jerry Herman, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Kander and Ebb in their style.
This tells me that some of those composers used to watch melodramas.
Well, I believe the book writer and the composer and lyricist of Musical and Musicals, the musical, were trying to come up with a pretty basic storyline that could transfer to each one of these different styles of musical, and so that was the one they picked.
So you have 5 different roles, or do you have even more than 5 different roles?
We have kind of the same characters in each one of the musicals. Yes.
Characters similar in each one?
Well, basically, each character is created out of each mini musical. And like, you'll see, like my character, you'll see the Rodgers and Hammerstein, Lori or Carousel as Julie, or you'll see Evita or Christine and Phantom. Each character definitely has different qualities, but it's the same style of character, but just done differently through the different musicals.
Sure. Well, those were certainly ladies in distress.
Oh, yeah.
In all of those shows. Well, let's talk about the 5 mini musicals. It's still produced by Kent Barnhart.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's still at the Quality Hill Playhouse.
Yes, it is. And Kent is our accompanist, and Kent is also one of the cast members. He has very important lines, and he keeps the through line of the show going. But yes, there are 5. If you love musicals, If you don't love musicals, if you like parodies, if you don't like parodies, I mean, it's for everybody because it honors these composers and lyricists, but also kind of there's poking fun at some of them as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Now, Kent excels at doing arrangements. I mean, that's obvious if you watch many of his shows.
Sure, absolutely.
Does he do anything with these arrangements? Or because it's a book show, is he kind of prevented from doing much?
Well, yeah. I mean, since it's a book show, he's not doing that. But he certainly is our musical director, and we have to... I mean, we have different... while he didn't write any arrangements, he certainly... we have to do different dynamics and all that good stuff that you have to do with a good musical or with a musical director.
Now, in just having fun now. Just can't play the villain in all of these.
No.
Okay.
That would be Tim Scott.
Yes. That would be another good villain. Yes.
And John Doherty is our hero.
Yeah. John Doherty has Tim does too, and Ken, but John Doherty has a particularly good voice.
Everybody does. Yeah.
Sure. Well, let's hear about these five musicals, and I'm curious how they're all woven together.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Well, they actually kind of stand on their own. It's like five one acts, really, and each one is like about 15 to 20 minutes long, and it's the same idea, the same story. But you'll see, if you know anything about musical theater, you'll see all of a sudden, like in the Rodgers and Hammerstein, you'll see a reference to Sound of Music, to Carousel, and in different ways, and like Julie's character always comes in and gives the advice to the young damsel in distress, who couldn't think that there are five different ways of how she could give advice, and it all parodies off of each composer and those musicals that they've written.
You've never heard any of these songs before. Yes. However, you have heard some of the musical themes, or in the Sondheim section, Sondheim is infamous for his rapid fire lyrics, so we have a lot of rapid fire lyrics in that section. So it is five separate musicals, but it's all tied together with a similar storyline.
I see. So what songs do you sing? So hit on some of the songs.
Well, I sing a version of kind of You'll Never Walk Alone / mm-hmm. Climb Every Mountain. Mm-hmm. I sing a version of The Ladies Who Lunch. I mean, in that kind of style. Uh-huh. What else do I do? Something like a Sunset Boulevard So, yeah. I don't know what else to say.
What about Ashley?
It's just the thing is there's so much material in each one of the little musicals because literally it's not just, this is Climb Every Mountain. There are so many different other references that literally hit.
Within
every measure, one song. So it's hard to say, I just parody this song. But there is definitely, like, in the Andrew Lloyd Webber section, there's an Evita section that you can clearly say, this is an Evita song, kind of, or parodies, or Christine.
Ashley does one that's similar to, it's Liza with a Z, not Liza with an S.
Yes.
But hers is, it's Junie with a J, not Looney with an L, because
yes.
Junie with a J goes J, not Liza, right?
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, wow. How do I know that? Do you want to go on for me tomorrow?
No, I do not.
Switch roll.
So they're having fun. So it's more by composer than by title, really.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It takes the whole body of material for each composer and parodies all of it. I mean, in Andrew Lloyd Webber, there are references to Cats. There's references to Starlight Express.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
I mean, all of their shows.
Well woven together.
All woven
into
together.
One big musical, the musical of musicals.
Musical of musical, the musical.
The.
You got to get it right.
Sounds pretty good. Any special little touches you want to add to that? It sounds it sounds like one big spectacular.
Well, it's just really fun. And Julie has done this before because they did this, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've always been a fan of it as a musical theater. That's what I do, and a nerd. And so I always knew it would be fun. But the audiences are spectacular. Like, there's such a range. I know people who are like, well, I didn't really know the references, but I still had fun. And there were times where people were laughing, but I wasn't. But there's so much to laugh at. And we've had some crazy audiences that just make it so much fun. Because we think it's funny. We know it. It's very clever. We know why each reference is. And so it's very enjoyable to
It's fun
share
to
that.
See what they're going to get each night.
Yeah.
But people have come back. I mean, we've had people come three or four times. Just because they love it. it's so full of joy. I mean, it really is. It's fast moving. It's just, but people like to come back and see if they can catch new things too each time. So
and each night is almost different of how, because with each audience being different, we kind of react different. Mm-hmm. Things happen on stage, so. It's definitely one you want to see more than once.
Yeah. Do you know the history, either one of you, the history of this particular musical, how it got put together, and why they put it together the way that they did?
You know, I don't really know that much about it. I do know that Eric Rockwell and Joanne Bogart are the people who wrote it, and they did perform it off-Broadway. But I know they were very specific in the composers that they chose. Mm-hmm. But I don't. That's about as much as I know.
They were
about
in
the
it.
History.
They started
and
in
they,
it.
And they starred in it. Yes.
They wrote it and starred in it. And
just the two of them.
There's four people in the show. So there
were
four.
I would think
of them.
It would be an expensive musical to do, getting the rights to all of those songs.
You know, I don't know how that works because there is never mm-hmm. a time where you go, oh, well, they lifted that directly from a show. It just touches on the kind of style without actually lifting it.
And that's why they were so smart and so clever because you never hear a melody line exactly from something. They will change maybe a half step or something, mm-hmm. but it's so smart. But yet it's never truly that line.
So I think that's probably how they got it. It's very smartly written.
So we're speaking with Julie Shaw and Ashley Panko, who are starring in two of the people, starring in the musical of musicals, running now through Sunday the 25th of May at Quality Hill Playhouse. The number to call for more information, if you have questions like I did, if you're as confused as I was, the number to call is 816-421-1700, or on the web, of course, at qualityhillplayhouse.com. We're speaking with the ladies. Does it take five singers in the show? Does it take five singers to do this?
Yes. Well, there's four of us that do the most of the singing, and then Kent plays. So, yes. So we work pretty hard. And we have a lot of music.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there a particular section where the audience seems to react the most favorable? That's a hard question.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair, but, I don't know. We found that it seems at the Andrew Lloyd Webber section is the one that people, whether they identify more with or it's just because it's a little sillier, a little stickier, I don't know, but they love that section.
Yeah.
But I mean, truly everyone enjoys everything, but that's the one where we get the most reaction from.
I've heard some singers say that Webber is the hardest to sing. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, he's just challenging. He writes epic characters, so an epic storyline. So the singing is going to be epic with range and versatility, and also the emotional stuff behind it. That's what makes it very epic, and you have to put a lot into. But it's very fun.
It is very fun. But they seem to love that one.
Yeah.
There is range. Something that is built into each song. Is that why you get picked to do that particular song, and you get picked to do another particular song?
No, it's all based on the characters that we play. So, and mine is a little bit different just because I do sort of have a standalone song in each section, my advice song.
Ah.
So I'm a little bit different from everybody. I mean, we all have our own songs, but mine is just, I don't know how to explain
well,
that.
Well, you're the diva of the show.
I'm the diva of the show. That's the best way to put it.
not in life at all.
So you kind of hold it together. Your character kind of holds it together.
Yes, somewhat. Yeah.
Whether her advice is helpful or not.
Yes, because sometimes it's not.
At all. With so many songs to learn and so many different arrangements to learn, how do you keep track of all of this?
Oh, I didn't for a while.
Well.
I was like, and what's so funny is that because like we were talking about, nothing is exactly what the composers wrote, but some things are so close to what the original is, I would start singing that instead, and that's not right. But it's a lot of material, and especially it's a lot of different characters. Like in one section, one mini musical, I may be jumping from Evita to Christine to whatnot, you know, and so it's like, it's very specific, and there's so much material, and it's very fast.
So let's see if I've got this right now. So the character of Evita may appear in one mini musical along with the character from another Webber musical.
Oh, yes,
in that section. Yeah, it's not just section. Yeah, it's not just she is this one character. It'll slip into, and the audience may or may not realize, but there's references from every musical.
But they're all by Webber. They're all characters and songs.
In that section.
In that particular
yes,
section.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have an order that we go by composing?
Yes. Rodgers and Hammerstein is first, and then we have Stephen Sondheim, then Jerry Herman. Second act is Andrew Lloyd Webber and Kander and Ebb.
Okay, let's make it a little easier for the audience. In the first section.
Yes.
By that composer, what songs do they and stories do they loosely play around with in that section? Okay. I know they don't follow one exactly from what
right.
I understand.
So Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Carousel.
South Pacific.
Oh, that's right.
King and I.
Oh, my. Now I'm trying to think on what
sound
else
do I say do. Sound of Music?
Yes, I think Sound of Music. That may be all of them.
There may be little references here and there,
yes.
But that's the Rodgers and Hammerstein.
And a fictionalized story is woven into that musical.
You got it.
Okay.
It took
me a while.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, in that section, you know, John's character comes out and sings, "Oh, what beautiful corn."
Oh, yeah.
Instead of, "Oh, what a beautiful morning."
Morning.
But it's
yes,
not,
yeah.
You know, it's not, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." It's not that. It's... Oh, what beautiful corn. Yeah, so right away people go,
where the
okay.
corn is as high as an elephant's hind end.
I actually have a line that says, sounds like you're high as an elephant's eye.
Yeah.
I went too far away.
Yeah.
No, you're pretty close.
That was good. That
so
was
each
good.
Section, okay, the second section then would be?
Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim.
There's
well,
a lot.
Now,
in
that would be harder.
Well, he wrote a lot.
Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods.
Company,
Pacific Overtures. there's a line that
one
says
reference.
There's a reference to that.
oh my goodness.
Well, we don't want to make this.
When you have to sit down and really start thinking about it, it's like, wow, there's so many. Yeah.
And many of those composers' songs are played around with
right.
and
mm-hmm.
put into one section, and that would
right.
be the second section of the five musicals, and the third would involve which composer?
That's Jerry Herman.
Jerry Herman.
So yes. We have Hello, Dolly.
And Mame.
Ah, yes, the fun ones.
La Cage aux Folles.
Yeah.
Yes, that one's a fun one. And then Andrew Lloyd Webber, as we kind of touched on already.
Phantom of the Opera.
And Evita.
Starlight Express.
Right. Cats.
Which was Cats, Jesus okay. Christ Superstar,
oh, what
Joseph.
What fun do they have with Cats? I have to know.
We can't give that
we
away.
We can't give that away. Oh. You have to come see the show.
It's funny. We'll tell you that.
It's a really funny moment. Joseph is in that
yes.
section, too.
Oh.
And
yeah.
then the last one is Kander and Ebb, and that's, of course, Cabaret.
Chicago.
Are those the two big ones?
Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So... Yeah.
Five musical of musicals, the musical of musicals, the musical.
Nice. Yeah. Good job.
Performances continue tomorrow night, the 13th, Tuesday the 13th, at Quality Hill Playhouse. Two performances on Wednesday. There's a 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's a 7:30 in the afternoon. Thursday evening performance, Friday evening performance, a Saturday middle of the afternoon performance, 3 o'clock p.m., then a Saturday at 7:30 performance. A matinee on Sunday the 18th, and so on and so forth through the next week. Sounds like a lot of shows, or essentially any time that anyone would like to see the show at Quality Hill, there's probably a show.
That's exactly
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right.
This can be made easier by going online at qualityhillplayhouse.com. They have a nice calendar,
mm-hmm.
as well as a drop-down where you can inquire about tickets for that particular performance, or a number you can call if you're not Internet inclined. It's 816-421-1700. They'll get back to you, but they'll probably have to go online to see what they have available,
right.
which, as you can understand, with so many performances and so many shows, would be make that available. It sounds like a grueling schedule. What is it like for you to keep up with all that? Two shows on Wednesday, two on Saturday. Sounds pretty grueling.
It goes so quickly though.
It's actually
it's such a fun show.
Would you say like almost 90 minutes?
I'd say yeah.
It's a very short show.
It's a very short show.
Considerably, normally shows are two and a half hours.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
this is, and I mean, 8 shows a week. That's what we're built for.
Right.
That's what you're built.
Seriously, it's what we're kind of used to, and we love it, and it's what we do.
It's easier for Ashley because she's significantly younger than I am.
Really?
Some of us oldies.
He didn't even think.
It takes a little bit more out of us, but that's okay.
Never would have guessed that. Performances continue beginning again tomorrow night, the 13th. Run through Sunday, the 25th. a grueling schedule for all of you, in my opinion.
But really fun. And again, I mean, the audiences just have such a great time when they see the show. Everyone has just had a ball, so.
Does the audience catch on quickly as to what's going on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And, you know, you just look out and they are just smiling. They just love it. There's something in it for everyone. Absolutely.
Yeah, you've done other shows, but not of this nature. Was this different for either of you to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done reviews before because it's almost like a review because it's so many different things. But it's a lot. Meaning I jump from character to character. You know, that's where it's new for me. It's not just one through line. You have, even though it's the same kind of story, it's, you know, switching my hat a lot.
Would you rather jump around from character to character instead of just being one the whole time?
I mean, I think that's the beauty of theater, is there's so much different kind of theater that you can do. I like to keep things interesting for myself. So this is very exciting right now. I absolutely love to do everything. But
sounds
fun.
Like a memorization difficult road to hoe.
Well, sure, at first, you know, when we have to cram into about two and a half weeks of rehearsal. And because, as well, we should plug in, there's a lot of dancing in the show that doesn't really happen on the Quality Hill stage.
Right.
So that's another thing, is we're doing three things at once at times, singing, acting, and dancing, and in a tiny little space, not trying to run into people.
Do you change costumes for the various musicals?
No.
We're all in black.
All in black.
Yeah.
So
you
the
can
women
kinda let your,
in black.
You can let your imagination run wild there. So.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
And no props.
No props.
Yeah.
So it's all you and the picture you paint for the audience.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Much work with the arrangements, things like that. I sort of asked that question earlier.
No, I mean, it's just straight from the... we're just doing what they wrote, because they wrote it so very well.
So what has the audience reaction been so far? Are they following what you're doing? Does it take them a bit to catch on?
I mean, they follow what we're doing, and it's there is a particular section in the show that I have to sing that sometimes, and I won't give it away, that it takes them a bit to kind of catch on to what I'm doing. But once they do, I've got them, and they're fine for the rest of the number. But I'll entice your listeners with that.
Okay, what about Ashley?
it's just fun. They catch on right away, and it's different because there's literally every line or every note is some sort of reference. So some people miss. A lot of people have told us that they're laughing so much that they miss the next joke.
Right.
Because they're laughing about the previous thing, and that's why they have to come back, is because they're missing things, not because they don't know it, or it's just because they're laughing so hard.
So they don't hear it.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, let's name again the rest of the performers.
Tim Scott, John Doherty, and Kent Barnhart. And our illustrious director, it was Rick Truman, and Brian McGinnis did our choreography.
Yeah, because there's dancing.
Because there's
absolutely.
Lots of dancing.
Yeah. Boy, it sounds like... there's a lot of work involved in this one. More so, not that all the other shows, you don't have to be just perfect in your singing, but it sounds like there's a lot of work in this because there's so many transitions.
Sure, a lot of work, a specific work. You know what I mean? A lot of times it's like, well, here's your song. Well, find your journey and here, maybe move here on this line. But it's very specific because things are very short. It's not like there's a three-minute song. You know what I mean? 3 minutes.
Most of the songs are very short.
Very, very short and get right to the point. So it's very specific, our movements, our voice, everything. And that's why and it moves very fast, and that helps that.
Sounds very energetic, not just, and they do many fine musical reviews at Quality Hill Playhouse. He has a wonderful reputation he's built. Kent.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
As far as doing that. But in this one, folks, you get five mini musicals in one.
Mm-hmm.
The musical of musicals. Performances continue. It's been open for a week or
couple
so.
Couple of weeks.
Now. Couple
yeah.
weeks now. Performances again tomorrow night. So bear that in mind. Go to qualityhillplayhouse.com. Look at the calendar. There are shows most nights of the week and two on some days as well. At Quality Hill Playhouse, the number to call is 816-421-1700 and on the web at qualityhillplayhouse.com. I was speaking with someone just last week, how theaters have been saved, in my opinion, by the Internet, making it so much easier for people to get tickets, get information. The not that theaters don't still send out long mailing lists. Some still do. But that has saved smaller theaters.
As well as social media. It's a great...
Absolutely.
I mean, we have promo videos. We have so many pictures. There's a great way to get sneak peeks of our show.
Have people tweeted about
you
and your show?
Yes, absolutely.
What have they said?
They love it. I'm not on Twitter, so I can't
either,
say.
So I don't know.
That's the only thing. But no, Quality Hill is on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. It's a great way for young and old. I mean, lots of people are on
I remember
media.
When the Lyric Opera had a special tweeting section. We all found that. They sat them in a particular place.
So is that
right? So they could tweet and not bother
That's
the rest
awesome.
Of the pages.
Wow.
That was great. But the Quality Hill Playhouse production of the Musical of Musicals, performances continue tonight, run through Sunday the 25th at Quality Hill Playhouse, which is located, by the way, at 303 West 10th Street in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. I want to thank you both so much for being with us and explaining all this to Michael. It was more confusing than usual, but I understand now.
You got it
thank
now.
You so much. Julie Shaw, Quality Hill Playhouse, The Barn Player, Spinning Tree Theaters, many more. Ashley Ponko, she has done national tours, the New York Theater, Musical Theater Heritage, Quality Hill Playhouse, the New Theater, Starlight, and the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. You can see her now at Quality Hill Playhouse. Both of you, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something fun. I hope not that this wasn't fun.
This is hilarious.
When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. The themes from two John Belushi comedies, Animal House and Neighbors, could be seen as the inspiration for Seth Rogen's broad and raunchy new farce, Neighbors. Rogen and Rose Byrne play a young couple with an infant daughter whose idyllic life is disrupted when a noisy, hard-partying fraternity, led by Zac Efron, moves into the house next door. Before long, a feud ensues as the rivals pull out all the stops to push one another out of the neighborhood. There's a lot of sex and drugs humor, so Neighbors easily earns a hard R rating. A lot of it is infantile, but Neighbors manages to deliver a few good belly laughs. It also has a surprising amount of heart. The real litmus test is one's affinity for Rogen's drug-induced humor. On the other end of the spectrum is the family-friendly animated flick, Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, featuring the voice of Lea Michele and the music of Bryan Adams. The story picks up where the classic 1939 film left off. The animation is fine, but the movie is strictly standard fare in every other respect. Fading Gigolo is an extremely lightweight adult comedy written and directed by John Turturro. It seems like something that Woody Allen may have written in his sleep. Turturro romances women like Sofia Vergara and Sharon Stone for cash, while Allen serves as his hustler. Yes, it's implausible, but it has some unexpected moments of sweetness amidst the crudeness. Also opening this week, Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton star in The Only Lovers Left Alive, a romantic vampire flick from indie director Jim Jarmusch. Stage Fright is a low-budget horror movie about a killer who hates musicals and stalks kids at a musical theater camp. Mom's Night Out is a comedy that shows what could go wrong when dads are left alone to care for the kids, and Blue Ruin is a dark revenge thriller. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI FM.
Freeze Frame!
Before the Star Trek TV series began, Leonard Nimoy found his way to KPFK in Los Angeles in 1963 to direct Oscar Wilde's Salome for radio. How did it turn out? Check out the Pacifica Radio Archives from the vault Wednesday morning at 5.
I think that sports is a really amazing lens to look at and to understand the history of black politics and resistance in this country. Like, you can tell the history through sports.
That's Dave Zirin speaking of sports on the next Alternative Radio, Wednesday morning at 9.
The Left Forum draws thousands every year to New York City to hear a constellation of thinkers and activists. On the next Sprouts, we hear some of those luminaries, including Medea Benjamin, Michael Moore, Jill Stein, Noam Chomsky, and Oliver Stone. Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Going to talk about a variety of things in this half hour. Boy, we're going to cover the gamut here of things that are going on. But there's a lot of things going on in Kansas City that don't get a lot of publicity. And we try to hit on all those various things, and we're going to try to do that in this segment of the show. Jamie Lynn is with us. I don't think, when was the last time you were actually on? When you were doing Cinderella?
Cinderella
was it that
at
long
CTI,
ago? But
yes.
Since then, I saw you at Leawood Theater in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
You were doing a show out there.
Bye-bye, Birdie.
And,
yes.
Boy, you do the Renaissance Festival.
I have done,
on a fairly
yes.
regular basis, and many other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you just like to perform?
I do. Yes, it is my passion.
In fact, you were featured in Casey Stage Magazine
I
a few
was.
Years ago in one
yes.
of the sections, as was I, but
yeah,
further ago
well.
Than you.
We're cover buddies. We were both on the cover.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, but only in that way.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Jamie has a performing name. She goes by Annie Mae Allure.
Yes, that's correct. That's my
Annie
burlesque
Mae,
stage name.
Yeah,
Annie
Mae Allure. Actually has a website, AnnieMaeAllure.weebly.com.
That's correct.
Am I right about that? Well,
yes.
We'll repeat that later on in the show.
And Mae is spelled with an E.
Oh, so
M-A-E.
It's M-A-E. So
yes.
Annie Mae. So that is a performing name.
Yes,
because
it is.
You do burlesque.
I do, yes.
People probably, some people don't really get exactly what burlesque was if they don't follow the early days of show business. They really don't understand. What is a burlesque show consist of, Jamie?
Well, the word burlesque originally meant caricature or, a burlesque show was something that was extreme, making fun of something. Like, when you draw a caricature of someone, it's like a big head, big goofy
uh-huh.
cartoon version of it. And so burlesque shows were originally kind of making fun of things, and then they evolved in the vaudeville style of shows where you have, comedians, you have sketch comedy, you have clowns, you have, and then what people think of when they hear burlesque today, which is women dancing and taking their clothes off.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm trying to bring back the more vaudevillian style of burlesque, where these days neo-burlesque shows, it's just the girls dancing, which is great. But I'm trying to bring back some more of the variety. So the shows that I produce are more of a classic vaudevillian burlesque show with comedians and jugglers and circus acts and singers, things like that. And then also you still get the pretty women taking their clothes off. So
sure.
It's something for everyone.
Yeah, well, almost everyone. Unless you're too young, I suppose.
Well, true,
but,
yes.
But I guess I'm racking my brain here. The Walter Matthau George Burns movie of some years ago. Was it the Sunshine Boys? I think it was the Sunshine Boys. Where,
maybe.
Where they did it was two old vaudevillians that came back to do a television special. And that gave, for the first time, some people an idea of what a burlesque show was all about in a vaudeville-type context.
Mm-hmm.
They had the comedians. They had a doctor sketch.
Yes.
Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that.
Don't. Exactly. Yes.
That was the old joke.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a variety of things on the bill. And one of the comedians made a joke, says, well, you get a booking. You get a Thurs, Fry, Sat, and Son. But if you don't do good on the Thurs, you don't get the fry sets.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of humor, that kind
yes.
of that kind of cultural thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But how have you lined up? What's a typical burlesque show that you would produce?
Well, the burlesque shows that I produce are called Rude Review and Burlicue. And generally I have 3 to 4 burlesque dancers, a drag queen, I have a poet that I have Milton Bradley, who's straight out of the Renaissance Fair, who does kind of dirty poetry type, very funny. I have stand-up comedians. I have singers and a lot of the burlesque dancers are also very good singers, so they will double. I have one of my regular characters is Zelda Zinger, and she is like a Betty Boop caricature. So she's like a 20-slapper girl that sings the Betty Boop style songs, and so it's all
there's really something for everybody at these shows because, you know, if you aren't into the Renaissance Fair thing, well, he's up there for 5 minutes, you'll laugh for a little bit, but then the next act there'll be a lady taking her clothes off. And then the next act after that there'll be somebody with a great singing voice. And the next act after that we'll have a juggler. I have Blippi the Clown, who does juggling routines, and I once talked him into doing boylesque, which is male burlesque, and so he juggled wet things and went by Wet James. So, you know,
juggling on stilts would be interesting. Does anyone do that?
Well, Blippi does juggle on stilts, but generally we are in venues that the ceiling is not high enough to be on stilts. But, yes, he is capable of doing that.
As I've said before in the year, I like fire.
Yes.
Don't ask me to explain why. It's a psychological thing. But I like to see juggling with fire. I find that interesting. I think they're foolish.
They are.
But I love to see it.
Yes. We do have some fire acts. I hire Victor from the Brinstone Brothers to do poi and things like that. And then Paul Craig, one of my MCs, he eats fire. So we do have some fire acts on occasion, and that's totally up to the venue, because if they are uncomfortable with having fire in their location, then they're like, no, don't bring that guy.
Sure. The sword swallowing also I find fascinating.
Oh, yes. I don't have a sword swallower yet, but if you're listening you want to be in a show.
She's always in the look for somebody,
yes.
I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking with Jamie Lynn, she, I don't know, should I call you a producer?
Yes, I am a producer.
There's burlesque shows around the area, the growing burlesque community in Kansas City. Is it really growing by leaps
and bounds? It really is. You know, last week you had Madame McKay and the Burlesque Festival. Just there's so many really talented people here in Kansas City, and unfortunately we're all very poor because the community in Kansas City, they like burlesque, but they aren't really going out to see it week after week after week. And so with all these talented people, and you can tell with the Burlesque Festival that was here, that Madame McKay and Scott Smith put on, there's people are coming in from other places to do burlesque here as well. And if we could get the Kansas City community excited about it, then I think they would really see just how much talent there is. And it could be a booming industry here, as it is in other cities. So
yeah, tell me of some of the venues where these shows are put on, and about how often, things of that nature.
Well, I personally have a monthly show in Independence at the Fraternal Order of Eagles. Actually, that's the last Saturday of every month, and that's a nice venue because it is a fraternal organization. So you go if you buy a drink or buy a raffle ticket, that part of that goes to charities, you know, and they are a fraternal organization, so their drinks are cheap. So that's nice. So that's the Fraternal Order of Eagles, 385 in Independence. And I also have a monthly show that I'm starting with Zelda Zinger at Nika's on 320 Southwest Boulevard, the Nika's Len Yep, or however you say that, called Open Stage Night. And it's like an open mic like you have for comedians, but it's for burlesque, drag, and variety acts. So anybody who is interested in it's a competition. And we have celebrity judges. We have Annie Cherry, Paul Craig, and Daisy Bouquet. And then you also bring your friends, and they have a vote, say, on who wins. And then the winner gets $50 cash, and then we have some gift certificates to different locations that we also give first, second, and third prize to. And that's kind of our way of trying to get new performers interested and older performers a venue to try out some newer numbers that they haven't polished yet.
I see.
So that's at Nika's every last Wednesday of the month.
I have to follow up on this.
Yes.
So someone who has always wanted to try something like this before now hasn't had the guts to do it, they might have an opportunity if they wanted to go down there. Do they need to make an appointment with you ahead of time?
Yes, they would just need to message either me or Zelda Zinger, and we're all on Facebook and all that. Or we also, our co-production company is called Amazing Entertainment, M-A-A for A-M-A, Annie Mae Allure, and Zing for Zelda Zinger. And that's facebook.com/AmazingEntertainmentKC. and they can message us on there. Our May show on the 28th is full, but we do have spots left for performers in June, which is the 25th. It's the last Wednesday. And that we accept any, like when I say variety performer, if you're a stand-up comedian, if you swallow swords, if you walk on glass, if you are a singer and you just want to play a song, anybody is welcome, and we would love to have them. And it's just good exposure.
So basically, any talent you have is welcome. You just want to know what it is ahead of time.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have to dance, but they juggle, if they do magic tricks.
Magic, yeah.
Swallow swords, anything like that.
Anything.
So you've got your America's most talented
sort
of situation.
Exactly.
On the last...
Last Wednesday of every month at Mika's.
Yeah. Do you have any a website or contact? You've given some websites. Do you have one you want to give for this particular?
For that particular one, that's the facebook.com/AmazingEntertainmentKC. That's the best way to get a hold of us. Or my website, which is animeallure.weebly.com.
Yeah. What is the most unusual kind of act that you've seen so far?
Well, this May is actually our first month.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't seen any crazy ones.
Unusual ones are coming.
Yes. I've worked with lots of different variety performers by producing these types of shows, and I also work with Cirque du Risque, which is a burlesque circus, and so I've seen some crazy stuff there too, like the girl walking on glass, Martika Daniels, I believe her name is, and we have hoop performers that do things with a hula hoop you wouldn't imagine. Like, how do you bend that way? I don't know. Contortionists. Lavina Lady of Cirque du Risque does a burlesque routine where she puts herself through tennis rackets of various sizes, which is very impressive to me. So we see all kinds of crazy stuff, but they're always entertaining.
But you never know what's going to be the next big thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so you might be seeing something that might become very popular in the future.
Yep.
Yeah. All courtesy of you. So this is kind of a situation where you get the credit or the blame.
Like, yay. It's the Colbert bump, but with Annie May Allure. That's what it is.
That's right. Speaking with Jamie Lynn about all these goings on down here, I find it great that the public can come, because some people... They always thought they could be a stand-up comedian. And there are open mic nights for comedians, but ones that do other kinds of acts, this might be their first opportunity to actually do that.
For people who
before a critical audience.
Right. For people who aren't quite ready to go audition for America's Got Talent or X Factor, those type of things, this would be a nice start. And, the more friends you bring, it's a 60-40 split between the judges. So the judges are 60% of the winner, of who decides the winner, and then 40% goes to popular vote for the audience. So when you walk in, you get a vote card. If you buy a drink, you get an extra vote card. So the drunker your friends are, the more votes you're going to get, basically. But that encourages, basically, people to bring an audience for the competitors to perform for, but it guarantees that it's not just going to be who brought the most friends is going to win, basically. And Annie Cherry is a very seasoned burlesque performer. She's very talented. We're so happy to have her. And then Daisy Bouquet is a great drag queen. She works at Missy B's. And she's also on the popular vote for RuPaul's Drag Race for season 7. And so is Luna Flair, who is one of my the drag queen that I get the most. Her name is Luna Flair. She's also on that popular vote. So if you like those people, you should go to RuPaul's Drag Race website and vote for them so they can get on that show. But we have, that's the level of talent that we have at our shows, of people who are possibly going to be on TV next year if we get enough votes for them, So, and then Paul Craig, who owns Theater Tech Productions, he specializes in variety, and he's the guy that eats fire and does all that stuff, and he does stilts as well. And so we have basically represented from each of the communities on our judging panel. And then Annie Mae, me, and Zelda Zinger are the hosts. So we just kind of wrangle the herd of cats into putting on a show for everybody.
Yeah, it just seems to have started rather quick. Maybe it's been a long time coming, I guess. But only I remember a few years ago you did Cinderella. It was just a normal musical. So,
yes.
So how did we evolve into doing burlesque?
That is a really good question. I was at I think it was when I was in the Tommy at the Met.
Uh-huh.
I think that's when I started. Because I was in that with Aurelie Roque and Katie Gilchrist, and they're both burlesque dancers. And so it was either during that show or after that show, I went to one of their burlesque performances as their friend to just, you know, support them. And I saw it, and there were several other dancers there that I knew, and I was just blown away, and I said, I want to do this. I absolutely have to figure out how I can get into this. And then later, I joined Evolution of Burlesque, which I believe is disbanded because it's the person who runs it, Lilith Moon. She's moving to Seattle, but I was with them for a couple of years, and I decided I'm going to go off on my own and try this to you know, because I just decided I need to step out on my own and see if I can do this by myself without a troupe, and I hooked up with Cirque du Risque, and even though I'm an affiliate performer with them, so I'm not a member, but we're working together, and there are a lot of really great troupes here, but they're troupes. So, like, Burlesque Downtown Underground, they put on great shows, but I'm not a member of that troupe, so I can't perform with them. And so I'm like, how do I get more shows? And then I decided, you know, maybe I should just produce my own. And so it was kind of an evolution of, I want to perform. Okay, now I'm performing. How do I get hired more? No one's hiring me. I'll hire myself.
Well, that's the way an entrepreneur is.
Right. So basically, the shows that I'm putting on, I'm just trying to get performers. I try to get freelance performers like myself who don't have a troupe so that I'm giving them more opportunities. And I do perform with other groups. Like I'm performing with Sophie Sassafras on May 24th. She has a redhead review where everybody's a redhead. I'll obviously be wearing a wig. That's at the Uptown Arts Bar on the 24th, which is my birthday. So you guys should come and celebrate with me. So I do perform with other groups. But basically, it was out of necessity. Like, I need to work. So I'm going to start producing. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of took off and it's been great.
Well, you kind of created your own new career.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had heard that you had been doing some things, but then the big evolution came when you were mm-hmm. featured in that. You were a cover girl in
right.
On Casey Stage.
Casey Magazine. Stage. Yep.
Yeah. And that came out, and so it was all kind of laid out there. So
yep. There it is.
Laid bare, so to speak. In
I think the tagline for that article was Jamie Lynn exposes herself. Because I wrote they had me write the article on uh-huh. myself, because I do write for Casey Stage. I'm a theater critic for them when they were in print. Yeah. So they had me write it myself. So they're like, we're going to call it Jamie Lynn Exposes Herself. Like, okay.
Oh, that made your whole family proud,
oh, yes,
sure.
Yes.
But it's an interesting business, I think.
It is.
Especially when you get involved with all the shows and different kinds of talent, not just the burlesque talent.
Right. And
all the other kinds as well.
With it being so successful as a burlesque producer, I've taken this opportunity to branch out into producing other things. So I have, like this upcoming Saturday, I am producing a murder mystery show for the Fraternal Order of Eagles in Independence.
Where is that? I should ask the address.
That is 1210 East 24 Highway.
Okay.
And Independence. And today is the last day to make reservations for that. So you can get on my Facebook, or you can call the Fraternal Order of Eagles to make reservations if you want to see a murder mystery show. And that's done through Upstage Productions. It's a two-man show, basically. The guy has to play like six characters. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hilarious. And that's Eric Pratt, who is also Blippi. So I like to... He's not a clown in the murder mystery show, but sometimes I think he is. But
so he not to give anything away, but he might perhaps be a victim and the person who killed himself.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Both
and
are
that's,
possible.
That's called Murder at Bunny and Clyde's.
Okay.
And it's basically the head of the gangster family gets knocked off, and the audience gets to figure out who did it. And there's opportunities for the audience members to play characters if they want to. And it's a dinner theater, so it's the cheapest murder mystery ticket in the city right now, and it's $30, which is crazy. Yeah, just get on Facebook and today and reserve that, or you can call Roger. Can I give that number?
Yeah, but don't give prices.
Oh, sorry,
because you're not supposed to do that.
Right, but. My bad. Okay, 816-506-0192. That's Roger's number at the Fraternal Order of the Eagles, and he can get you tickets for the murder at Bunny and Clyde's this Saturday in Independence. That's another thing. Independence doesn't have a lot of shows. People want to come into the city, you know, and or if they're in the city, they don't want to drive out to Independence. So it's nice that I'm trying to bring some of the smaller outlying areas some shows so that people who live there don't have to drive all the way into the city. It's a work in progress, though, because they don't know it's there yet. So it's
maybe you can get the new mayor to come out.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's go through the websites, the addresses, and the phone numbers that you want to give out again.
Okay.
In the time we have remaining.
All right. So if you want to check out Open Stage Night and perform with us, that is facebook.com/AmazingEntertainmentKC. If you are interested in seeing a Rude Review or any of the other anime allure shows, then you can check out my website, animeallure.weebly.com, and that's animeallure.weebly.com. I'm also on Twitter if you want to follow me at animeallure. And
what kind of tweets do you get?
Every Thursday I do a Throwback Thursday picture of things that I might be embarrassing of me because of how
you're brave.
Right. And those tweets all let you know. Just got a new show at this venue. I just recently booked a comedy night show with the Moose Lodge in Sugar Creek. So
wow.
You know, you'll get that type of thing. Like I said, I do all kinds of shows, comedy, vaudeville, burlesque, murder mystery, all kinds of things. And if anybody's interested in me bringing a show for them, it's I work on anybody's budget. So, because I'm poor and I need the money.
Yeah, you're a rising entrepreneur. That's
I'm
what you
trying.
Need to say.
I am a rising entrepreneur.
Yes, I'm a producer of talent.
Yes. Yeah.
So you want everything to be online? Do you don't have a number or anything like that?
Well, all the information for, like, the burlesque shows are generally cash at the door.
Okay.
So I do not have a way to pre-purchase tickets for those yet. So at this point, if you want to check out the information, you can get on my website or on Facebook, and it'll tell you how to go, but you'll need to bring cash at the door. It's unfortunately not. I'm still rising to the entrepreneur level
right.
of having pre-sale tickets.
Yeah, but that's what you need to say from now on.
Yes.
Producing entrepreneur. And the website, once again, that I have here, Annie May, M-A-E, okay, I should spell it out, AnnieMayAllure.weebly.com.
Yes.
This is all correct?
That's correct.
You can see the latest on Anime Allure, the activities, what's coming up. Do you have it presented as a calendar?
Yes, there's a calendar page on there that has all the different shows that are coming up, both that I'm in and that I'm producing. So if I'm in a Cirque du Risque show, every third Thursday of the month, I'm in a Cirque du Risque show in Overland Park. That's on the website. Even though I'm not producing it, you can get information on anywhere to see Anime Allure, basically.
And if you have talent.
And if you have talent.
The next one is coming up in June.
Yes, the next Open Stage Night that has performance slots available is June 25th.
And Michael wants to see a fire eater on stilts.
I don't think you can.
Preferably juggling something.
I don't think you can fit stilts in Nika's, but.
We'll see.
You're going to get me in trouble. Nika's going to call me up. Don't do that.
I'm just kidding. Not all that much, but just kidding. Thanks so much for being with us. Jamie Lynn, she is Anime Allure, and her website, once again, Annie May Allure. Weebly.com, mm-hmm. where you can get your full calendar of what you have going on in the way of talent contests and murder mysteries and other performances of that nature.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going all out, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. The Jazz Insider is next. He has a lot going on, too. Jazz, great jazz, some of the history behind some of your favorite jazz artists. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3, all the way up to 6 o'clock tonight, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.